CliffCentral.com.
And literally, do-do-do-do-do-do. I'm going to tell you something. Life happens, and boy, what we saw, what we did see. Okay. Over the last day is...
Yeah,
Trump, the only one.
Life indeed can be fun if you really want to. Sometimes living out your dreams ain't as easy as it seems.
You wanna fly around the world in a
beautiful balloon. Seriously, it's been a day of wow.
Yowza.
Seriously, man.
Totally.
So yes, we're gonna be. We got Trumped.
We got Trumped.
And then we had a flash flood in Johannesburg. Work it out.
A flash flood?
Is that different
from a flash flood?
It's a flash in the Trump, so you're confusing me from poker and the floods. I don't know. This is the Unview. It's good to be with you here, of course, on cliffcentral.com. And Chatty Maddie's in studio, of course. It's going to be a packed show. Wonderful things planned. But wow, Gareth Cliff was sitting there expecting to go to the Clinton rally. And Gareth is a staunch Republican. Mm. And he said to me on Saturday, he said, Alan, I've actually got to. Admit that I would actually vote. I would vote for Hillary Clinton and not for the silly Trump. And he actually, I can't believe he took it. I sat up at 3 o'clock in the morning watching this.
Yeah. Nothing's predictable these days, eh?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing is. But I will say the following, that life goes on.
It does.
And I'm happy to be in South Africa. Mm. But I think the world kind of just basically said yesterday afternoon, you really want rain, we'll give you rain. And It's really sad because people lost their cars
totally
going down the street.
Mm.
Okay, besides you lost your car the other day.
Which went down the street in a very different way, but yeah, we won't go there.
All right. And then the other thing is that I was reading, which is quite sad, is that there are two people that drowned yesterday on the N3 highway outside the Lynxfield off-ramp. Well, in that stretch. And the thing is that it's something interesting, but you know the first thing that you never do is you never try to get out of the car in that type of situation by opening the door.
Really?
Never. You have to get the window, break the window,
break the
or get
window.
The window down. It's the only thing. And people drown in their cars. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, things have happened here in Johannesburg and around the world, but life continues. And, of course, we're not here on the Unview Negative in respects. We like to talk about good, positive, wonderful things, entertainment. We want to talk about music. We talk about the theatre. We talk about food. We talk about all the magic that we have in this country and in the world, basically.
And there's plenty of it, right?
Absolutely, because it's the one and only Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous.
The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
Still haven't worked out who's the thin, who the rich, and who the fabulous is, but that'll come at another point in time. My very special guest in studio is Mr. Producer himself, Bernard J.
Of the pantomime fame.
No.
Amongst other things.
Of the UK fame, of Broadway fame, of the world fame, of South Africa fame. But I can't wait to have him in studio. Such an interesting...
What a legend.
Life and legend, yes.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to talk about legends because I've got Stefan ter Blanche, former Springbok and rugby legend, who's going to be joining me in a moment to talk about something called the Rugby Legends South Africa, South African Rugby Legends, a phenomenal organization that does a lot of great work. Top Springbok joins us in studio. We're going to do the tribute to Phil Collins, which is happening at Empress Palace. We're going to talk about Daphne's got another show happening.
Yeah, Payback
called
the Curry.
Payback the Curry. Mark van Graan wrote it. And we're going to chat to Daniel Mpilo Richards, who is the
actor, right?
Actor, yeah. And then we've got the one and only Claudia Henkel, former Miss South Africa and the head of PR for Sun International, chatting about the Nedbank Golf Challenge.
Mm.
It's a whole different field.
Totally.
But it's
from rugby to golf?
No.
I mean,
I told you, we do all things.
Boys in really short shorts and then men in long, you know.
Matthew, please. What? Matthew, let us all come down to earth, Matthew. On the line, Stefan ter Blanche is former Springbok, top Sharks player, legend in his own right. Thank you for joining us on the line, Stefan. Welcome to the show. Steph, you there? Is Stefan there? Steph, are you there, Steph?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ah, here, I've got you. Sorry. I had muted you by mistake. Sorry, on the system. You know, it hasn't been a great day in the world and in Johannesburg. But, Steph, thank you for joining us. First and foremost, I had the pleasure of spending some time with you this week, and thank you for doing the toboggan, the summer toboggan with me up at Misty Hills. Did you have fun?
Yes, thanks, Alan, and thanks for keeping me on the line there for half an hour. I've got actually nothing to do for the rest of the day, so but that's no problem at all.
No, six minutes and 40 seconds, Stephen. I've got your time here.
We had a wonderful day on Monday. It was so much fun, and you know, going down the hill and doing it again with the GoPro on my head, and then in front, and the cameraman, and going himself, and then I wanted one for the kids with the iPhone. So it was a great day and good fun.
Stephan, of course, this is a phenomenon. You're the CEO of a phenomenal organization, South African Rugby Legends. Tell me about it.
Yes, I mean, we started about 12, 14 years ago, just basically as an old boys club for the guy after professional rugby, just somewhere to belong, because you must understand, some of the guys play rugby half their lives, and all of a sudden you get dumped back into society, and you love the game, you still want to be involved, but you know now you have to work, and you've got family, and you've got kids, and school runs in the morning. So, you know, we started it for the boys just to get together, and we've grown significantly over the years. Yes, we do have a lot of fun. We go overseas. We get invited to Italy, Portugal. At the moment, there's some of the boys playing in the Rugby World Cup Classics. They just beat the Lions last night, so they'll now be playing in the final, possibly against the All Blacks. I mean, that's one side of the fun and good things we do. But also, you know, rugby development is so topical and transformation in this country at the moment. A couple of years back, we stumbled across this program called Fuka Rugby in the Western Cape. You know, started with 3 schools, 17 schools. Today, we've grown to 8 provinces, 11,500 boys playing in the systems, 228 coaches, 42 zone coordinators. I mean, and it's just it's just a great phenomenon how these smaller schools that never had the opportunity to play rugby, we created a structure for them where even if you have one team in your school, you know, you can still play in a structured league and still display the talent that you have at school level. So even the old Model C schools, a lot of them, rugby has died down. We try and revive these because they've got normally usually great facilities, and it's just great to see 8 provinces this year and next year. We're hoping to venture into 12, 2018, all 14 rugby playing provinces.
Stephan, the most interesting thing here is that it's our former, or should we say, not former, well, our rugby legends that are getting involved, coaching the kids, people like yourselves. Tell us some of the other names, the top rugby names that are involved in the organization and in doing this.
And then we've got over 500 and a lot more to load onto our databases. I mean, a lot of players retire every year. But, I mean, just the guys get involved. We have a structured rugby league, which we do. I mean, guys like Peter Miller, Dale Santon, former Springboks, full-time involved. But then we also just to go to smaller towns like Kraaifontein and Swellendam and Stolbay, you know, they might need some rugby poles. So we'll take 10 guys there for the weekend and raise a bit of money for the school. I mean, from Shawmari, Corne Krieger, Francois Pinard's been involved before. Coach James, all these guys. And you know what? These guys run big businesses. Gary Teichman, he's now the CEO of the Sharks. Wayne Fiery, John Allen, Jeremy Thompson. I mean, the list goes on. These guys are just, you know, they still want to give back to the game they love. We create that platform, and we use it from time to time to come and join us on a weekend away and to spread the gospel of the world of rugby, which we so dearly love.
Stephan, how can I get involved? How can members of the public listening to us right now, how can we get involved? How can we, because I think rugby is firstly an institution. People love it. People love being involved, watching, having their kids involved with it. You know, so how can we get involved? What can we do for you, Stephan?
Yeah, I think the easiest way to get involved is just to go to the website www.sarugbylegends.com and just go and have a look to see where we are, see where the next event is, see who's coming up. You know, a lot of people phone us, they're looking for a speaker. Yesterday, again, someone from Mariesburg down up the west coast in the Western Cape phone us and said, look, we're having this, you know, this get together for farmers. I need a speaker. I need someone because we love rugby. We just want to talk rugby. Mm. Can you send someone up for us? So, you know, just small little things like that. You know, come and see us when we are in the Wintertons, when we are in the Grafenwöhr. Come and join us for the weekend. I mean, we always, you know, have a little bit of a golf day, have fun, visit the schools.
I think it's,
you know,
great.
There'll be a function at night and people can ask us some questions and just see, we normal people now, and it's great that the ex-rugby players are still involved. They have an opinion now, they have a great knowledge about the game, and they like sharing that with everyday South Africans.
That's what it is. It's about mentorship. That's the point. Stephan, firstly, you're a great guy. You are a rugby legend. It's an honor to have you on our show and to have entered my life. But I want to get involved with the Oaks, and let's do lots of magical things.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the opportunity. And let's hope we can have a great result this weekend against England. I know that the SA Rugby
League
is the Springboks, and let's hope.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. That's the CEO of SA Rugby Legends. Be good. Stefan Tablange and www.sarugbylegends.com if you want to help out, if you want to go to one of the events. I just think it's really, really cool. I've got to tell you something because he's not on the line.
Yeah?
Damn.
What?
The man's in his 40s. He's the most gorgeous oak. Seriously, I told him to his face. I said, you're damn gorgeous. But that's not why we're having him on the show, because he's just brilliant and he's doing good stuff. This is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich and The Fabulous. And of course, something very special is happening shortly.
Yeah? We've got a Phil Collins tribute show, right?
Yes.
Yeah?
You can hurry, love. No, you just gotta wait. She said, love don't come easy. It's a game of give and take. Okay, in the studio, Victor James Chapman. He is he's coming to Empress Palace next week with his Phil Collins tribute show. Thank you for joining us in the studio.
Thank you, Alan. Thanks, Matt.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
So now tell me, what is this... A tribute concert is not an impersonation concert.
It's
very different.
Yeah,
we've got to understand that because a tribute concert is to tribute the music and you don't wear like Tina Turner's wig. You know if you're doing a Tina, you know sometimes.
Oh,
like,
he also doesn't. Wear although Phil Collins as Tina Turner is a pretty sight.
I'm just trying to explain that.
Yeah.
If you're doing a Tina tribute,
you
got to look like Tina.
You need the tassels.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
You get what I'm saying?
Getting, yeah.
But you play the drums.
Yep.
And you sing.
Yep.
All right, so we're gonna turn Phil off for a moment as well. Let's just get Phil off.
Because
now we've got Victor who's doing Phil in the studio.
Okay.
So you have a little bit of a desk and tell us something that you're gonna sing. Give us.
Well,
look,
we're going. It's been quite a big challenge to get the zillions and zillions of hits, 230 million copies of albums that's out there, to get 35 years of hits all jam-packed into like a two-hour show. So we're doing obviously our show is called One More Night, which is
one of the
biggest
More Night.
And so there's a lot of, we're doing a lot of the ballads, but obviously we're doing a lot of the very well-known kind of up-tempo songs as well, you know. And there's a couple of surprises within this thing. It's a whole journey. So it's not just a couple of musos getting together saying, let's do 20 songs and we're going to sing them back to back and whatever the case may be and say, thank you very much, Phil. We've scripted something together. There's a lot of little surprises in there. There's some narration, some voiceovers, a journey. It's actually a full experience of what you probably would have got if you could get to a Phil Collins concert plus more.
Why Phil Collins? Are you a huge fan? What is it about Phil Collins in particular?
Well, I think he's a very, very great songwriter, and I think the combination of being a drummer and a vocalist through all the years, there's not many of them around. There's not many guys who are great drummers who are also vocalists, and they get out there. You know, yes, there's the Sheena E. and a couple of those, but as far as really, really popular vocalists who are drummers, it's probably Phil Collins.
And of course you love his music.
I do love his music.
Favorite songs?
One More Night, Two Worlds.
What about Susudio?
Susudio, absolutely, man. Yeah, that's great. A lot of brass in there. We've got big brass.
You got live brass?
Live brass.
Really,
we're gonna blow that song out the water.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Victor, do you go down the Genesis path at any stage?
We do. Yeah. We're going to go in, we grab, we come out. So there's a couple of Genesis things in there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, the typical muse, I think, none of them can dance. So it's quite apt to get the whole bunch of guys out there trying to do the, I can dance, you know.
Correct.
So that's there, and we touch on a couple of others, Never a Time, and then we kind of come back. Phil Collins, in his Genesis time, he did about 130 million copies, which is a lot of, it's a lot of records. And then in his time, he did about 100 million. So that's 230 million copies of stuff out there. And what is fascinating about Phil Collins is, He seems to have a little bit of an inferiority complex.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't have people like me.
Really?
I'm not quite sure, you know. But it doesn't matter that they've bought 230 million copies. But then, you know, so he comes back with his, every time he's done his farewell tour, and he just kind of does another one. And he's a little bit aware of his crouching back, and he can't hold the drumsticks that nicely anymore. And so there's stuff there that I found very interesting as I started studying and scripting something together for this. So there's a lot of secrets and things that surprises we're throwing into the script that people don't know about.
But now this is interesting, because it sounds like you've kind of Stanislavski'd this guy and you've gone kind of method on Phil Collins. And this is a tribute show. Do you know what I mean?
No, definitely not doing that. I'm just saying there are interesting things.
Yeah.
You know, there's songs he's written, like Billy, Don't You Lose My Number, that if you start researching this and you find out, he doesn't actually know what the song's about. He says, these words just fit nicely together. So, Billy, don't you lose my number? Oh, that's cool. That makes sense. It kind of rhymes, and it's just a fun song.
Mm.
What's it about? I don't know. You know? So, there's interesting stuff that Phil Collins has done in his time, you know?
Sure. Now, Victor, of course, the show takes place when?
The show starts on Thursday, the 17th. Of November,
which is next week.
But Thursday doesn't matter, because Thursday is sold out.
Okay,
you can't even get in on Thursday. So you can, if you want to, and you do need to get tickets from the Friday the 18th.
Okay.
So get onto CompuTicket.
And book it.
And it's called One More Night. Yeah, book it right there. There's tickets going out that way. Tickets are moving really, really fast.
When does it run until?
It runs 5 shows every weekend. So the Thursday night, the Friday night, Saturday night. There's a Sunday afternoon show and a Saturday afternoon show.
Okay.
So there's 5 per weekend at the Marcellus at Emperor's Palace.
For how long?
Runs for up to the 4th. So it's for 3 weekends running. Starting next weekend, the following weekend, and the next weekend. Then that's it.
15 shows.
15 shows.
Now, this is what we love doing. Give me a song.
All right, can you guys sing?
No. You're singing, not us.
I've been trying all so long to let you know. Let you know how I feel. And if I stumble, if I fall, just help me back so I can make you see. Give me one more night. Just one more night. One more night. 'Cause I can wait forever.
Woo!
Yeah!
Excellent. Thank you for joining us, Victor James Chapman. The Phil Collins tribute show happening, the 15 shows starting from next week, over Thursday through to Sunday at Empress Palace. Not to be missed. Thank you for joining us, my friend.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Alan. Thank
now
you
from Empress Palace, we're moving off to Daphne's Theatre on the Square. And yes, another very, very interesting show that's coming called Pay Back the Curry. It's a Mike van Gaans written production. Daniel Mpilo Richards is on the line. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Hello, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. Daniel, tell me about Pay Back the Curry.
Pay Back the Curry. Where do I start? Jeez. Pay Back the Curry is a one-man satirical comedy written by Mike van Gaans, directed by Rob van Vuren, and produced by Sivan Gesi.
And what is the show about? What can people expect?
Well, people can expect a whole lot of comedy, but just some reflection on where South Africa is in the present day. I play 28 different characters.
Really?
In the 70 minutes on stage. I've got a guitar, so you hear some music. And Theatre on the Square, where we will be performing, is my 21st venue this year.
21st venue?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So we've been doing a tour of South Africa this year.
Which is magical. Payback the Curry, what is it about? Obviously it's pay back the money. We're playing on that whole hashtag thing. But I mean, the different characters, I mean, clearly have come from all parts of South Africa. So,
yes,
I mean,
we're representing every demographic in South Africa. We jam-pack it. So anyone that watches the show is going to walk away laughing, is going to walk away a bit angry, a bit sad. So you're bound to get a roller coaster of emotions when you come and watch the film.
When does it run?
It runs from the 24th of November to the 15th of December at Theatre on the Square, Auto and General Theatre on the Square.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get your tickets through CompuTicket or the box office at Theatre on the Square, which is 011-883-8606.
Magic. Daniel, we look forward to seeing the show and of course, the shtick and the fun that you're going to go and have with it. What has inspired you to do this particular piece of work? And I know that you obviously found the script, but where do you find your inspiration?
The process of this particular script was kind of has been amazing, because Mike von Kahn originally had me doing a stand-up comedy, and he turned a stand-up comedy into a 70-minute theatre script for me. So I'm a professional actor, and I am as versatile as they come. So if I pick up my inspiration from anything and everything that I witness on the streets.
Which is brilliant. Payback the Curries, happening at Daphne's Theatre on the Square. That's the Orton General, not Daphne's. I mean, come on.
It is Daphne's Theatre.
No, it is Orton General, but it's Daphne's Theatre on the Square. And, of course, Daniel Richards, we look forward to seeing it. It starts next week.
I'll be there.
011-883-8606 if you want to get a hold of the theatre.
Yeah.
And you can book the tickets at CompuTicket. I wish you best of luck for the run, Daniel.
Thank you so much, and please check our page out on Facebook for any further news in the year.
Okay, cool. And again, this is the 21st venue, one of 21 venues he's done this year on this production, which is very, very cool.
That's amazing.
Well, we look forward to seeing it. Thank you so much, Daniel. Be good, eh? Great. And have a great run.
Thank you. We'll
cheers, friend. Bye-bye. Pay back the curry. Gee whiz, you know, there's a bit of sting
in that.
I love it, yeah. Payback, yeah, got it. Lots of different characters. It should be a great one.
Yeah,
good comedy.
Absolutely.
What I do love, and I think that that I'm going to address this to my very special guest in studio. He is Mr. Producer. Oh. Okay, hold on to there. Yeah, Nadia. You are Mr. Producer.
And he's so modest.
Yeah, I know. And he always has been. It's so irritating. You know, he should be just like, really, they should be like, where's the red carpet for Bernard J? Where is it?
Well, here we'll run out a yellow carpet, right?
Anything, yes, but whatever. But he is Mr. Producer. And the first question will go to Bernard J, my very special guest in studio, and the question is as follows. Isn't it great to see theatre in general just becoming more and more diverse? If it's not comedy, people are going to the theatre. They're doing magical stuff. And some of it works brilliantly, and some of it's first class, and some of it's not first class. But at least you have an active society.
Hello. How nice of you to have me here. If I get my headphones on correctly, I'll be good today.
This is me that your mouth.
Theatre is the fabulous invalid, isn't it? It's never died. It's always been there. It doesn't die. It goes through ups and downs, and I think we're going through a good time at the moment in theatre, despite the economy.
The interesting thing is that I cannot believe how much it's growing. And you're seeing, for example, going off. I went with Matthew to the Market Theatre on, I think it was Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see how full it was and how packed that with young people.
Absolutely.
And people from all different demographics.
Sure.
And it wasn't an opening night.
Not at all. Midweek.
It was midweek. So it's showing you that theatre is alive and it's well and it's happening.
Yes, I believe that. I believe strongly theatre is product driven. You know, it's not the venue or how to get there or how far it is or how difficult it is. It's do I want to see that show? And if you're doing the right show, the public will go and find you and see it.
So let's talk about the right shows.
The right shows, who knows?
I was going to say, there's no formula for
that. Is there a formula? And this is what I'd like to ask you, because you seem to, well, you took the Johannesburg Theatre over the 14 and a half years that you were there from a struggling entity to a very successful entity, okay, as a whole.
They tell me.
Tell you. I looked at the numbers.
My team did that with me. Okay. Yes.
With you, yes. So how do you find or how do you pick what works and what's not going to work? Or what you're going to hedge your bets on?
It's obviously very difficult, but I think if you're lucky enough to run a theatre for a period of time, which I was, so you can plan well in advance and you can pick and choose, you have to look at trends, you know. And for a while there, we saw that dance shows were working very well.
Okay.
Modern dance shows, I mean popular type dance shows. And I think that was because a new generation was coming into the theatre and it crossed language barriers. Mm. There wasn't a problem with coming in and understanding dance. So I did do a lot of dance shows. And then, you know, the eighth time you bring Spirit of a Dance back to the country, you see the audience is dwindling a bit and it says, okay, maybe eight times was enough. you watch trends very carefully.
All right, so you're watching your trends, and of course we're seeing a lot of the tribute shows, which was also very big at the Joburg Theatre at one point in time. We saw the Queen stuff. We saw things like
Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston,
the Beatles.
Yes.
Again, that was people love reminiscing or remembering the past in some sense. And maybe that's why you picked that particular.
It seems so, but I think also there's got to be a really good standard to it. I think people don't want to see just a tribute show where somebody's impersonating. I mean, you were just talking about that now. They want to see a big production. And I think we were lucky and we got to work with Showtime Australia, who seem to be like the king of these shows now. And they just up their production standard every year. So people knew they were coming to see a spectacular as well as hearing songs that they loved, hopefully.
I was very, very happy to see that you're bringing back the Whitney Houston show. I'll get the exact wording or the name of it. The interesting thing there is that I couldn't believe how incredible that show was. Did you ever see it?
I didn't, unfortunately.
It's coming. It is incredible. It is The Greatest Love of All, the Whitney Houston show. And I was blown away. Because, firstly, I thought, okay, it's going to be quite nice. But when you see – I thought that the artist outdid Whitney, actually.
Belinda Davids.
Belinda Davids.
Yeah, and Port Elizabeth girl.
No way.
No.
Yeah.
Seriously.
She's incredible, isn't
she? Incredible. So I'd seen it on opening, and I thought, we were so blown away by it that I went and saw it on two other occasions.
Yeah.
And then I had the whole family come and see it because we all love Whitney. But it was so interesting because, again, that market is very much your I found there was a lot of, obviously, cross markets, but a lot of colored people, a lot of Lebanese people, a lot of, like, the Whitney freaks and fans, black people for that matter, but that was that market. On the other hand, the Beatles was a very different market and older. So again, it's obviously then filling up the theatre with, okay, well, this month perhaps only a certain amount of people can afford it. Well, in terms of, you know, it's a show for, maybe I get this wrong, but at this month we can't expect people to buy three sets of tickets. So maybe what we'll do is we'll have this market start of the show for this market, the middle of the month for that market. Is that how you think about it as well?
Well, again, you know, if you're lucky enough to run one venue, you can afford to be able to plan like that. So yes, certainly in this economy you don't expect people to come back every week to a theatre. They just can't afford to. So I tried very hard to balance the product
and to use different markets,
but also to build a new audience. One was always very conscious of that you know, you need to put things on the stage that will bring people into the theatre for the first time. And then if they fall in love with the magic of theatre, which of course I did many years ago, then hopefully they'll come back. But you must give them a standard, but you must also say you can try and come to the theatre. It is for you. Don't think it's for other people.
Mm. I'm going to come to an interesting question before we get into your life, into your start of this magical career.
It takes a long time.
It is a long life. Have we lost theatre etiquette? And how has it changed, and how do we teach people? For example, I was at the pantomime, which was exceptional, by the way, on Sunday.
Thank you.
And it's very clear that it says, please don't take video footage and please don't take photos. And the interesting thing is when you, for example, are in a space, do you tap them on the shoulder and say, please stop taking the photographs?
Do you know? I don't. I mean, because, you know, as a producer, I think it would be the wrong thing to do. Look, I don't think we've really lost etiquette. I think etiquette changes. I think that word is a word that is one of those flowing words that will change. Yeah, every 3 years it means something totally different. So obviously, especially to the younger audience that we're getting in now, thank goodness, and tempting them to come to the theatre, they don't know what that means. Theatre etiquette. Mm. You know, there was a time when we wore bow ties and dinner jackets and all had champagne before the show started, and that was theatre etiquette. Now that's not what we do. We encourage people now to go on their cell phones and to go on to Twitter if they like it and be immediately saying we love it. And therefore, by the middle of the first night of the pantomime on Sunday, we were trending and we were number one in South Africa. Yes. So, you know, who am I to say, please don't use your cell phones? But respect the person next to you. So don't be kind of checking your emails all the time, and certainly don't answer a phone call.
And that light, because that light is when you're watching the stage. It's the light that bothers you, to be distracting.
No, and never mind the audience member. I'm coming from the perspective of being on stage now. So it is, as an actor, it can be incredibly distracting. But I think therein lies another challenge and an adaptation that the actors need to make now.
Well, it's got to be tolerant, but also what you can do. I mean, in Joburg Theatre, the upstairs is called The Circle. And so for some while, when I was there, we called it The Social Circle. And everybody that wanted to be social throughout the show, in whatever way they wanted to do it, was sat up in The Circle so they didn't annoy the people in the stalls. And they didn't annoy the actors because there was a good distance. So I think what you have to do is you have to work with it. You have to acknowledge that that's your audience nowadays. Try and teach them to respect the person next to them, but not say, you know, you must stop doing what you love doing.
For sure.
Your greatest production that you've done in the past, let's say 10 years, what have you loved? Well, listen, okay, I've got to do this with you. Okay, please.
This is like asking a mother who her favorite child is.
Well, I can ask the mother who was one of her least favorite children, because I can ask the mother that I think I was in a production that was one of her least favorite children.
Debbie Tuss Dallas.
Which was one of the...
Weren't you Caprice's leading man?
Oh, goodness gracious me. I show femme feeling, Donna. But it was, now, I said to myself, I would never, ever do it again. But never say never, because maybe I'll be a fairy in one of the pantos in the next 25 years, but we never know.
I was hoping the dame, actually, but that's another conversation we must have.
But here's the thing, is that it's so interesting that, it's hard work. Theatre, I've done many television shows, many documentaries and many radio programs. This was the hardest thing I've ever done. For a number of reasons. First, I'm not trained in it. Secondly, it is, you know, you have to be on point. You can't fluff for 1 second.
No, there's no second take.
I mean, I must have missed a ball thrown at me every second show.
Well, if I remember rightly, there was a lot of fluffing going on at Debbie Does Dallas, but I think it was a different kind
of
fluffing,
musical?
Actually.
I
think it was the point of it.
But you know what, Bernard, I did learn a lesson that is why after seeing a phenomenal musical or panto or musical production, I stand up immediately because I know how hard it is. It is so, so difficult. So difficult.
Yeah. I love actors. I say it all the time. I always tell it to the actors I work with, and I admire them so much. I don't know how they do it. And I think, you know, my longevity, maybe that's the word, as a producer and being privileged enough to stay in this business, I think it's because I love actors, and I know that without them, I wouldn't have a job. Mm. You know, I just don't know how I'm in the pantomime now. They do 9 performances a week. Matt, you know it.
Of course.
You know. How do they manage to lose weight?
You can't
lose
weight. Yeah.
After I've had my meetings or watched a rehearsal or whatever I need to do, I can go home and have a whiskey. And I sit there thinking, these actors have got to do that show all over again now. But it's a wonderful feeling because they are incredible human beings, actors.
But you know, as a producer, and actors will appreciate this, you allow their hearts to sing. You know, you enable that. You give them that platform, and I think that's what actors want. They don't care. They don't care that they can't go home and have their whiskey, because they're getting to do something else that you can't do.
Well, yes, absolutely, know? And so, thank you for putting it that way. But when I watched them on stage on a first night, like we were there on Sunday, and I sit at the back and I see people stand up and applaud and scream and cheer, it's the best feeling in the world. Mm. And I think, well, that for me must be what they're feeling up there every day doing it.
Mm. It was so wonderful. Because I took my brother's 2 kids and my mom, and they were so excited. They can't wait for the next experience of where I'm going to take them to the next theatre experience. Mm. It was that, you know, and that brings me so much joy because I think so very often that I don't see it through the eyes of that child. Mm-hmm. Okay. But they know the rules. You know, there's no, because they were drinking the water like that. So there are people behind you. That water goes down now, and it's a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. You know, there's rules. But they loved it. And I think it's not just the panto. I took them to see Annie as well. And of course, there's lots of magical children's theatre. But it is the it's the imagination, but it's not on a TV screen. Mm. It's in front of you. These characters exist.
Yeah. Yes, there's nothing comparable to live theatre. Yeah. Because you just have to realize that you're seeing something that nobody else is ever going to see in exactly the same way. It's not like a movie screen that shows exactly the same thing. Every single performance is different. And so you're experiencing it with just maybe 1,000 people in that venue, something quite unique.
What I love about panto. I remember Janice saying this to us. Remember that your actor or your audience is that additional actor. Mm. So, you know, as an audience member in a panto, you're walking in there and you're owning a part of that experience.
Yes.
There's a real symbiosis between what goes on stage and what the audience choose to, you know, whether they choose to participate or not. And I think it's such a magic moment.
That's Janice Hunnam's brilliance, isn't
absolutely.
It? She understands that, I think, better than anybody yeah. else at all. And that's during rehearsals period. You see that happening already mm. with no audience there, but you see exactly what she's talking about
sure.
and how she explains that to the actors. Mm. Yes.
So, of course, we're going to see a lot of magical things happening in the next and upcoming year. Tell us about what can we expect. We just saw Saturday Night Fever.
Yes.
Okay. How did that go?
People liked it, I'm glad to say. I think it went well. We got fairly good reviews. And I thought it was a show, again, show Matt knows very well. I thought it was a show that was worth doing again here. I think, you know, 8 years between productions, and we got the rights to do our own production mm. of it and to reinterpret it a bit. I felt it was a little bit of musical theatre history that was worth doing again. And, of course, my last 2 years has been spent very much now putting The Color Purple together. Mm. It's been a long-term project for me, and those plans are changing all the time because I'm glad to say there's a big demand for the show in this country, so we're changing dates and changing itineraries mm. all the time with The Color Purple, and it will get here. Yes, definitely it will get here.
Okay, so we're not going to see it next year, early next year as it stands?
It stands at the moment, we're trying to replan so that we can put an entire national tour together.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Because the theatres are asking for it, but also the office in the United States, Oprah Winfrey's office, that mm. actually controls that mm. show, also wants to see us use it more than just one venue.
Mm.
So we're all working together now to look at future dates where we can string a whole tour together. But it's definitely going to happen, yes, definitely.
People don't understand it when you're in front of the camera or you're, you know, that when you're producing, things change all the time.
Yes.
You know, I had a series that's meant to start in April, it's now starting in July.
Yes.
Okay, and all of a sudden there is a performer that says to me, or someone that's in the show, one of the presenters, that it goes, yeah, but you said to me it's April, but I'm sorry that CakeNet changed their schedule. It's not my, and the sponsor didn't come through. These things happen.
Yes, and you have to go with the flow.
And that's the producer's job, because you're the puppet master in many respects, because you're controlling every aspect. Besides just what happens on stage, you're controlling all the aspects of it, the finances, the payments. It is the pressure that is the hardest job of all.
I think I've always felt the job of a producer is just like being the CEO of a company. What mm. you've got to do is put that wonderful team together to work with you, and then give them the tools with which to work and hand it over to them at that time. But yes, you've got to be the person that actually gives them the reason to do it. And if you can stay on a tour for 6 months rather than do one venue, it seems to make more sense for everybody.
For sure. And sometimes, like you say, your hands are tied by the rights holders.
Yes.
You know?
Rights holders and venue availability
Absolutely.
And sponsorship and all these things, and finding the right cast,
of
putting
course.
The right team together. You know?
But I'm very happy to say the greatest love of all, the Whitney Houston show is happening.
Yes.
That is
yes.
going to be phenomenal.
Yes.
Belinda
Davids. I love working with.
She's brilliant. Matt, Matt, you have never, really. It's very cool. My very special guest here at Cliff Central is the one and only Mr. Producer, Bernard Jay. He's got the Panther happening at the moment, Robin Hood.
I'm off to see it tomorrow.
I can't wait. It was brilliant.
Robin Hood and the Babes in the Woods.
The Babes in the Woods.
Confusing everyone.
I had to match the story. I was like, yes. I got it in the end. Not in the end, actually. I mean, come here, we got silly. But what, the sets are brilliant. The whole thing is really cool. But we'll discuss that in a moment. He's my very special guest in studio. I just thought, while we take a quick little break, we'll play a bit of Whitney Houston's I'm Every Woman, because it is done by Belinda Davids brilliantly on that stage. And this is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich and The Fabulous. And also we'll chat to Claudia Henkel in a moment. And that is a show not to be missed. It's coming up soon. When's it happening, Bernard?
It's happening in Durban at the Sibaya over Christmas time, and then we'll come to Pretoria, then goes off to Germany, then comes back here in 2018 at Empress Palace. There's a lot of touring dates for Whitney Houston show.
My very special guest in studio is, of course, Bernard Jay, Mr. Producer himself. We have Chatty Maddie as well. We're going to just do a little quick side turn just to chat about other things that are happening in and around the country. On the line, I'm very happy to welcome to the show former Miss South Africa, Claudia Henkel, and of course she's also the head of PR for Sun International. It is the start of the Nedbank Golf Challenge. It's a very different golfing festival this year. How are you doing, Claudia? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ellen. Thank you for having me.
Claudia, what can we expect? I mean, this is a whole different field. This is another European tour. The race to Dubai, actually.
Exactly that. It's an incredible year. It's an exciting year. It's a very different year. So the Nedbank Golf Challenge is now part of the European Tour and the Race to Dubai, which basically means that the guys that come here score points in order for them to improve their rankings.
I mean, for golf enthusiasts, who are some of the big names that are there? And I'll be there over the weekend, but who are the big names?
We've got incredible names this year. Unfortunately, Mark Leishman wasn't able to defend his title this year. But for me in particular, we've got Thomas Pieters from Belgium. I think he is a phenomenon in terms of the golfing fraternity at the moment, because he is one of the rookies that, actually the second rookie to win all his matches and stay unbeaten. And then, of course, our South African representatives. So, Charles Swartzel, Jaco van Sail, and, of course, Louis Oosthuizen. I think everyone is betting on Jaco van Sail, and then of course Charles Swartzel, but as long as he keeps his swing smooth and accurate, I think he's got a great chance, a great contender.
I've got to say, Claudia, from you and I many years ago discussing beauty pageants and the world of you are discussing golf swings. Things have changed.
Listen, my handicap is at 24 now, so I've got to keep aware of what's going on in the golfing world.
Claudia, again, it's a very exciting time for Sun City. You had the opening of the entertainment center, and I believe it looks completely beautiful, and it's completely different. We also see that of course the Nedbank Challenge still has all the different groups of people that come in, the families that come in. You've got all the celebrities that are around there. Do you have all the Miss South Africas popping in the finalists?
Absolutely. The finalists will be joining us on Sunday. It's also a very exciting year because we've decided to extend the semi-finalists. So we will only be announcing the top 12 in January. So we have 26 beautiful girls. And let me be honest with you, I'm going to put on my beauty queen hat at this point. The girls this year are incredible.
Well, I'm not to be funny, but you had a Miss World in the last couple of years. So it's we expect a lot more coming up.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly it. We want another Miss World. So the girls this year are... they're incredible. I think it's a tough competition. I actually, when you have a group of girls, you can always see the standouts. This year, I'm actually flabbergasted in terms of the caliber of girls that we have. It's very exciting.
Claudia, again, it's a time for families to come along. You can purchase tickets. You can come to walk the field. You can go and swim in the Valley of Waves. It's even if people can't stay, because I know your accommodation is 100% full, you can come up. It's not a far drive from Johannesburg or from Rustenburg or from those places, from Pretoria for that matter.
No, absolutely not. From Rustenburg, and also there's a lot of accommodation available just 20 minutes from Sun City. But additional to that, Sun City is almost a city on its own, and it's only an hour and a half out of Pretoria and Johannesburg. So if you get in your car in the morning and you come through, there's a multitude of activities to do here for the ones that aren't golf enthusiasts. The Valley of Waves has just launched two new slides. Sun Central, which is the new entertainment center, is open. There's been refurbishment in the various cabanas and the pool area, so there is so much to do here. And I think that it is an opportunity missed out if you don't get in your car and drive through.
Claudia, I am going to go back to your beauty queen hat for a second. Did you have the pleasure when you went to Miss Universe? Because you were top to make, well, you did make it into the top 10. But, I mean, did you meet Donald Trump, by the way?
I was waiting for that question. Unfortunately, the year that I attended Miss Universe, he didn't attend the Thailand. So it was in Thailand when I attended Miss Universe, and he didn't attend that year. So I didn't have the privilege to meet him.
The new president of the United States. Yeah, things are interesting.
Some people say it would be a missed opportunity. Some say it would be a privilege. Others would say otherwise. I'm just going to be completely objective and not say anything.
Very, very good. Enjoy the Nedbank Golf Challenge happening at the moment. Claudia Henkel, thank you for joining me on the show.
Thanks, Alan. We'll see you on the weekend.
Cheers, love. Be good. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Claudia Henkel, former Miss South Africa, went off to the Miss Universe. I had to ask the question.
Of course.
Had to ask the question.
I mean, a male who potentially wears a little bit more self-tan than a beauty pageant.
I tell you, I know who did meet him, Vanessa Carrera. I'm going to get her on the show next week. Yeah. I'm going to ask Vanessa what he was like. So, yeah. I mean, the world is interesting as things change all the time.
Crazy.
And it's life, and that's the way it does go. My very special guest, Bernard Jay, is in studio. Bernard, it's interesting looking at your life and at your profile and at your biog, but it was so interesting to see that in the 70s, Richard Gere and Elaine Page worked with you in one of the first productions of Grease in London.
Yes, the first one. Yes.
The first one.
The first one, I think 73, 74, I was working with Paul Elliott and Duncan Weldon, the producers, and they got the right, I was general manager there, and they got the rights to Grease, and we couldn't cast it in London. We couldn't cast the lead. We auditioned everybody for about 6 months, and we couldn't find a Danny Zuko, and the American producers that we were working with at the time, and the show was still a hit on Broadway, actually said, if you fly over tomorrow to New York, we will put our understudy on because we think he's fabulous. He's just joined the cast about a month ago. We think he's brilliant. He's probably not going to get a chance to take over on Broadway. Come and see him. And I think he was like 18 and never heard of him and literally flew over to New York to see this guy called Richard Gere.
No.
Yeah, who was put on as the understudy so the British producers could actually see, did they think he was any good? And I think about 2 weeks later, we had a contract with Richard to do the first 3 months of Grease in London. So it was really quite exciting because he was totally unknown. It was his first Broadway job as an understudy.
What is it like to see and to work with these people that you see in the start of their careers and then they fly to success? Do they change? I mean, do their personalities change? Does the humility change?
I think just.
And what is the lesson in it?
I think just like people in any other career, I guess Donald Trump has changed since he got his first job in building a hotel or whatever. There's some change and some don't. If I'm privileged enough or lucky enough to stay in touch with them, you sometimes meet people who have become big stars and you meet them 30 years later and it's just like when you first met them. There are others that are totally different, that then pretend they never met you, you know, because you're not up there with them. I kept in touch with Richard for quite a long while, and he was adorable. And when I went to New York, we would sometimes get a coffee together, but I haven't seen him for a long, long while now, so I don't know.
And, of course, Elaine Page.
Oh, Elaine, I keep in touch with very regularly, yeah. Elaine is Elaine Page. I don't think she's ever changed. I absolutely adore her. She's just a lady who totally believes in show business and the magic of show business and lives and breathes it the whole time.
The other thing here in the lesson that perhaps you've seen is that humility does stand and being kind and you know, coming down to earth and not always thinking that you're bigger than the game, because you're never bigger than the game, are you?
No, of course not. And I mean, you know, even if your name is the attraction as the big star in the show, one day people are going to stop coming. It doesn't go on forever.
It doesn't go on forever.
And you're going to have to realize that you've brought some people in, but you're no longer doing it. I think it's terribly important.
And relevancy also changes because your audience changes. So when you all of a sudden 20, Richard Gere to 25 and Richard Gere at 55, you're two different people and two different audiences. And two, do you know what I mean? And you've got to go with that because, you know, you're not a Kardashian. You know, it's not like they're the best. I'm just saying, you know, you're not. And then we look at other things in you. What are some of the proudest moments that you can tell us about for you personally?
Proudest? I think my proudest moment, you know, is being here talking to you and still knowing that I've survived in an industry that I think is all about survival. Mm. So if I've still survived, it's my 53rd year now in this industry. And if I'm still surviving and somebody as good as you says, come in and talk to me, I'm kind of proud of that. But the real truth is, you know, in the theater, every time I have a first night and I can sit there and think, did I contribute to this? Was it good? Is my stamp on it? And did the audience enjoy it? If those questions can be ticked off in the positive, then I'm hugely proud. I go home full of pride. You know?
Have an extra tot of that whiskey. Yeah?
Shush.
we'll have a bottle. So all of a sudden, it's London. It's then going in the 70s and 80s to New York.
Yeah.
And then it's coming to head up Percy Tucker's Compu Ticket in South Africa. You know, you're leaving two big major fields to come and play in a smaller, beautiful field, but why did you make that choice? What happened?
Well, it was all connected with an actor you may remember called Divine. And Divine was an actor, and then we got this business in the disco business where he had, I think, 67 hit singles or something. Mm. He was huge and appeared in movies in playing female roles. And I got to know him in the 70s and ended up being his manager for 12 years and took him around the world 32 times and did all the movies with him. It was a kind of love-hate relationship, but we were very dependent on each other. And he suddenly died at the age of 42, very suddenly, just as his, I think, the biggest fame was about to hit in Married with Children, the TV show. And after that, you know, after 12 years of being in our pockets together and being so dependent 7 days a week with each other, I just thought once he died, I needed time to rethink my own career, get over the idea that I no longer managed Divine the Dragon star, you know. So I just decided I wanted to go somewhere else. And it was 1993, and who wouldn't have wanted to come to South Africa? You know, this country...
Bernadette came to South Africa, people were running away from South Africa. Yeah. I mean, this is interesting.
It was going to blow itself up, or it was going to be one of the most amazing historic moments of our time. Fortunately, it was that. Mm. And I came on a year's contract, and I wanted to be here in 1994. So I came in 1993, I took this year's contract, and I've been here ever since, and I'm absolutely in love with it. I'm a South African now. This is my home. It's where I belong.
And you've contributed to the theatre in beyond. What is it, your advice for people that want to enter this world, the world of entertainment, the world of theatre, the world of acting, the world of producing? What is your advice? What would you say to them?
Look, I think you have to have the passion to be in the entertainment industry, whatever it is you're doing in the entertainment industry. You have to have passion. And if you have passion, it will keep you going. So don't let it knock you down. Keep working at it. Keep getting better at it. Don't rest on your laurels. But don't lose that passion. And the minute you've found you have done, which of course a lot of people that go into the entertainment industry lose their passion quite quickly, then get out of it. You don't belong in it. You know, if you don't have passion every day to do it. And I think what my own life is based on is that passion. But I get up every morning and want to be part of the theatre business. And if I'm not suddenly, those times, you know, between shows or something, that you're not, I'm lost. I don't know who I am. I'm a lost individual. Mm. I've got the passion for this industry that drives me 24 hours a day, and I think that's what everybody needs to have to survive in this industry.
And now your independent production company, are you excited to be working across the board, different theatres?
Yes, it's lovely. It's lovely that I'm still needed and I'm still wanted. And it's especially lovely to go back to Joburg Theatre again. You know, they were kind enough to say when I left as CEO, they said, continue to produce the pantomimes with Janice. Mm. And that's what I love doing, like the Carmen Panto. And the theatre's, you know, 10 minutes from where I live. And it's like going home. Mm. It really is. I love working at Joburg Theatre.
Well, Bernard J., thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
The pantomime is absolutely exceptional. I can't wait for Pinocchio next year.
Oh.
And for more of the magic that is going
to be.
Sorry, bit of a moment there.
Yeah, because you were Pinocchio.
And
of course, may we see you just continue to make magic in this country because a lot of your stuff has gone around the world. But thank you. Thank you for what you've done for South African theatre, for artists, for creating jobs, for inspiring people, and more importantly, for showing your inner ability to be and to create and to basically grow the magic.
Absolutely.
I sound like an Mnet ad. But it is there, seriously, it is there 30 years, but that's what magic's about.
Thank you,
Bernard J. is my very special guest in studio, and thank you for joining us on Unview. It's really good to have you.
It's been fun.
And it's been absolutely wonderful. Stefan de Blans, don't forget www.sarugbylegends.com. Victor Chapman's happening, of course, at Empress Palace next week. Phil Collins tribute. We've got Payback the Curry.
Theatre on the Square.
We've got, of course, the Nedbank Golf Challenge happening this weekend. And, of course, don't miss the pantomime. Please, it is absolutely... You're going to see it,
I'm seeing it tomorrow.
Oh, it's brilliant.
I'm there.
It is so brilliant. I wish they could do it in Cape Town as well, because all those Cape Town kids are missing out.
Yeah.
But can I tell you something?
Fly up, yeah.
If I lived in Cape Town, I would come and bring the kids up for a weekend and to make it a beautiful Joburg experience.
Absolutely.
Perhaps the Apartheid Museum, go and see the panto. There's lots to do in Joburg.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, to all of us, to all of you out there, and from all of us, we have had a great time being with you. And of course, we're back next week. We've got Claire Johnson talking about the magic of Mango Group. The new album's come out, and lots of other wonderful, crazy things, including the Eat Out Awards.
Yes,
with Abigail. Yeah, Donnelly. She's going to be talking about top chefs. It's going to be food, glorious food. Hey, kind of like it. This has been the Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. My name is Alan Ford, and it's been great being with you here on CliffCentral.com.
The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.